I took Brother First up on his invitation to come stay in the cabin, and my wife and I just recently celebrated our 25th anniversary. Happy anniversary to your pastor, by the way, and his wife. 27 years, right, preacher? And I'm glad to have my wife here with me. And first time we've been off in about 20 years. My daughter, my oldest daughter's old enough. Well, we've gone off, you know, on a little date here and there. But as far as going out, you know, away from all the kids, it's the first time we've done that. We've got six kids, and my oldest daughter, you know, she's made me a granddad. So we just took all our kids and dropped them off at her. We dropped them off at her and said, we're out of here. We had them. You got them. Amen. But anyway, great to be with you. Great to be in this awesome state. First time I've been to South Dakota, and I tell you, I'm hooked. I'm hooked. I'm a big hunter, man. I'm just all the game and the wide open spaces, man. I love it already. Awesome state, awesome town, and awesome church. Church buildings, awesome. Y'all did a great job. I was checking this out right here. I didn't realize that was not stone. I thought that was stone, but that's pretty cool. I'm always checking woodwork out. I enjoy building stuff, and awesome church building and church family. Amen. Enjoyed getting to meet some of you. And I want to kind of echo what my good friend Brother Craig Bryan said. I was reading the little guest book over there in the cabin, and Brother Bryan's a dear friend of mine, and he said he travels all over. He wrote a little comment in the guest book. He said he travels all over and does not know of a more comfortable place than that little cabin over there. Now, I don't, and he said, thank you for taking care of his every need. Now, I don't travel much. I don't get around that much, but I can't see how it'd be any much better. Amen. What a nice little place y'all have here. And I'm so thankful for the accommodations. We've really enjoyed ourselves already. And I'm actually not looking forward to going home. I was going to see if you got an application for an assistant pastor or a deacon or something. Amen. But turn to your Bibles to Proverbs 28, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 28 and also Revelation 13. You can put a finger in Revelation 13. So that's Proverbs 28 and Revelation 13. Now, preacher, is it your custom here to stand when you read? Okay. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 15. I just started wearing these reading glasses. I'm still trying to get used to them. So bear with me if I have to. There's a little adjustment period here with these glasses. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 15. And if you have a real Bible, it'll read like this. Amen. As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the people. Now, you may be wondering, what in the world is a raging bear? We don't use that terminology that much anymore, but a raging bear is a bear that's going to and fro, covering a lot of range. And what he's doing is he's in search of something to eat. And now, bears are always looking for something to eat. That's pretty much their purpose in life, pack on a lot of fat to survive the winter, you know, their hibernation period. And they're always looking for something to eat. And if necessary, a raging bear may even go after human flesh. I just watched a video a couple days ago about a man that was a lumberjack. I think he was in Colorado, and a black bear actually came inside of his camper. He shot through the door to try to kill the black bear, and it didn't kill him. And the bear came through the door of his camper and ate him. That's very rare, but you know, from a black bear, but it does happen. Just FYI, there are 40 bear attacks around the world every year. Now, the Bible told us that a wicked ruler over poor people is like a raging bear. Now, I see a potential for poverty like never before. I don't know if you know it or not, but the powers to be want us to be poor so they can have their way with us. Debt and inflation will more than likely soon cause the world to see poverty. I hope I'm wrong, but it sure seems like that's the way we're headed. Now, on top of possible coming poverty for most people, there is a coming wicked world ruler who will rule like a raging bear. And we can see him in Revelation 13. Let's look at Revelation chapter 13, verse number 2. Revelation chapter 13, verse number 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So The beast here is referring to the Antichrist, that coming one world leader. Now, some wonder why he's referred to as a beast. I'd often wondered that over the years. Why does the Bible refer to the Antichrist as a beast? And then I studied it out, and the idea is that he is a wild beast or a venomous beast, one that wants to hurt people. That word beast is also translated as, the King James translator also translated it as wild beast, venomous beast. Now the beast is also called the son of perdition, which means to kill, destroy, or make waste. And that's exactly what the Antichrist will try to do to God's people. And that's exactly what the devil, the dragon, wants to do to God's people now. He wants to steal, kill, destroy, make waste. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you'd help me tonight the best way I know how. Lord, I yield myself, the Holy Spirit and the power of God, and the best way I know how, Lord, I yield myself and ask you for your help, ask you for your touch, ask you for the anointing power that I may help these dear people, encourage them, and give them something to hang on to. Please be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the title of my sermon is How to Survive a Bear Attack. How to Survive a Bear Attack. Where I'm from in eastern North Carolina has the most dense bear population, some have said, in the United States, and even more likely the world. And, you know, I am a bear hunter, and so I preached a sermon recently. I'm thinking about bear hunting a lot, and just recently trying to get some stuff set up on my family's property in North Carolina to bait some bears for bear season this year. So I think about this kind of stuff a lot, all right? And, I started thinking about, there's a lot, when I preached to our church, a two-part series on how to survive a bear attack, and I kind of got the idea when I was going through Revelation and saw that the bear, and I thought, wow, he's got bear-like characteristics. I wonder if I could figure out how to survive a bear attack in the physical and if that would translate over to the spiritual. And I believe it does. So I'm going to talk about how to survive an actual physical bear attack, and then I'm going to try to make application for the spiritual. Number one, when in bear country, have protection. We're just going to talk about how to survive a physical, actual bear attack. So number one, when in bear country, have protection. Never go in bear country without protection. Now, many experts agree that bear spray is probably made of red pepper oil that inflames the eyes and respiratory system of a bear. Some say it may be even more effective than a gun, because when you spray that pepper spray, it creates a big cloud, a big mist, and it's a lot easier to fend off a bear oftentimes with a big cloud or big mist and try to hit. You're in a pressured situation and trying to hit a moving bear with a pistol. That can be very challenging. All right. Now, I would never want to be in bear country with just bear spray, though. I'd want to have a firearm if at all possible, because those cans of bear spray can fail, okay? Now, for your information, experts recommend not carry hollow points, all right? If you're going to carry a weapon, a pistol in bear country, don't carry hollow points, because the fur will cause them to expand and hinder penetration. You'll have a hard time reaching a vital organ. Personally, when I'm hunting in bear woods, I carry non-expandable, hard-cast bullets, which will penetrate fur, fat, and even bone if necessary. And you need to be comfortable with your pistol. You need to train with it. Make sure you have unhindered, unencumbered access to your pistol at all times when you're in bear country. Number two, God forbid for some reason if you are attacked by a bear and you are without a weapon, you need to be able to identify what kind of bear you're dealing with. It's very important. Very important to be able to identify what kind of bear it is you're dealing with. Now, I've heard it said when attacked by a brown bear, which would be a grizzly bear is a brown bear, when attacked by a brown bear, play dead. When attacked by a black bear, fight. And when attacked by a white bear, say goodnight. All right? Because you, at first sight, they see you as a happy meal, all right? You're not surviving a polar bear attack. You just say goodnight, amen? Now, who's heard that before? You play dead for a grizzly bear and fight a black bear. Several hands raised. Now, black bear attacks are extremely rare. Now, I'm going somewhere. I'm just laying some foundation, okay? We're getting ready to get to the message here in just a moment. But black bear attacks are extremely rare. Now, even though they are rare, if you are ever attacked by a black bear, more than likely it will be a predatory attack, meaning they're trying to eat you, okay? And you need to fight as if your life depends on it. If you're ever attacked by a black bear, fight as if your life depends on it, because it does. Now, on the other hand, if a brown bear, such as a grizzly bear, attacks you, it's because most oftentimes they feel threatened. More than likely, they're protecting cubs, okay? Now, the best thing to do with a brown bear is just play dead. Fall face down, put your hands on the back of your head, protect your head, neck, face, and stomach. Spread your legs out so they can't roll you over and try to bite down on your face. Bite down, start, you know, scratching at your stomach. Now, if a brown bear doesn't feel threatened, it will more than likely lose interest and flee. The devil's the same way. If you resist him, he will flee. And that's another point. I don't have time to even go there tonight. I'm going to just hit a couple of the main points that maybe you've not considered. But the main thing is dealing with a brown bear, a grizzly bear, is to play dead. Never, ever run. Okay? You can't outrun a bear. You think he's all big and fat, but I've seen firsthand how fast they can run. One time I was a little boy, I'll never forget, we were showing some people some bears, and it was about probably five or six bears in an old peanut field that had been recently harvested. And my dad just took off through the field. And I was probably 8, 9, 10 years old and was just glued to the windshield as we were chasing these bears. And probably it was probably about 400 to 500 pound black bear in the field. And got so close to him, he was kicking mud up on the windshield, and he was just stretched out like a greyhound dog. I mean, you will not. I was blown away how fast even those big, heavy bears can run. You will not outrun a bear, okay? Now, let me talk to you about how to tell the difference. You need to tell the difference between a black bear and a grizzly bear. One you got to fight, one you got to play dead for, so you need to know how to identify the difference, okay, how to tell the difference. Now, grizzly bears are normally much bigger than black bears. They have large, long claws, some claws almost as long as my fingers, and they have a telltale hump on their back. Now, a black bear, in addition to being black, not brown, has a straight back, no hump, just a straight back and shorter claws. So you need to know the difference. You need to know how to identify those bears. Okay, now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you would, please. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And now I'd like to apply these lessons with a spiritual application. And we only have time for 3 points tonight. But I'm going to give you what I believe is probably the most important. Maybe ones you haven't considered. Ones that would encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. Point number one, let's identify what kind of bear we're dealing with when it comes to the Antichrist. Is the Antichrist a black bear? Is the bear that's described to us in the Bible, are we dealing with a black bear or are we dealing with a brown bear? I think that's important to know. Now, there are two famous stories that can give us some insight as to what type of bear that we find in the Bible. One is found here in 1 Samuel 17. Let's look at it in verse number 34, 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 34, if you would please. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." So notice that David caught this lion by his beard. We're not dealing with mountain lions here. Now, I'd hate to run up against a mountain lion, but I'd sure rather run up, square off with a mountain lion than I would a lion with a beard. That's the king of the jungle lion. Think about that when you think about David. Not only was David shepherding in bear country, he was shepherding in lion country. Look at verse number 36. "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him against David, and the Lord was with him against that lion, against that bear. Amen. David had supernatural protection. Supernatural. You realize grizzlies can get up to about 1,700 pounds. You're not going. David had supernatural protection against that lion and that bear and the Philistine and Goliath. Amen. So we looked at one story that I believe can give us some insight into what type of bear we're dealing with, and I'll tell you another story. The other stories where Elisha was walking, and there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and called him a bald head. And that's bad news, all right? So don't be trying that, amen? Now, the Bible tells us that there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and tear 40 and two children. Now, from these two stories, I believe we can get some insight into what type of bears we're dealing with. In the Bible, we're dealing with very aggressive bears, which have the characteristics of what? A grizzly. We've just seen two instances of bears that are very aggressive, that have the characteristic of a grizzly bear. Now, I grew up, like I said, in probably the most densest bear country, absolutely in the United States, the inner banks of eastern North Carolina. And I've never heard of a bear attack. And I've been around black bears all my life. I don't personally know of any bear attacks. So I think it's safe to say these are grizzlies just based off the aggressive behavior. Now, the Bible also talks about, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. So it's describing a bear robbed of her whelps. Whelps is cubs. It's describing that as a bad thing, a very aggressive, you know, if you run up upon a bear that's robbed of her whelps, you're going to meet a very aggressive bear. Do you know that's another characteristic of a grizzly bear? Defense of cubs is a grizzly bear trait. I read an article that said that there is no record of anyone ever being killed by a mother black bear defending her cubs, and attacks are extremely rare when it comes to that. Not when it comes to grizzly bears, brown bears. You find yourself in between a grizzly bear and some cubs, you find yourself in a bad spot, amen? So we saw some biblical evidence that the bears in the Bible were grizzlies. And I believe there's also some historical. There is some historical evidence as well I'll tell you about. I saw an awesome documentary kind of helped birth this sermon. It was called basically what we're talking about. What type of bears are in the Bible? And it was by an archaeologist. And it was a great little documentary he did. But he referenced the fact that there are Byzantine churches in Israel and Jordan that are between 1400 and 1500 years old. And in these Byzantine churches are what they call mosaics. The floors are called mosaics, and they take little pieces of tile and they tile the floor with them. Well, contained on these 1400 to 1500 year old mosaic floors are pictures of bears. And the bears have the telltale hump on the back as a grizzly bear. Now, this would be representative of the local animals in that area when those churches were built. So I think it's safe to say that when we're looking at bears, we're talking about bears in the Bible, we're dealing with grizzly bears. And that really puts some things into perspective, if you think about it. Now, David was a young boy shepherding in grizzly country. You think about that one time. Not koala bear country, not panda bear country, grizzly bear country. Now, if I'm going to grizzly bear country, I'm taking me a Glock 10 millimeter. David didn't have one. David wasn't scared of grizzlies, and most Christians are scared to hand someone a track. Think about that. David wasn't scared of grizzlies and lions, and most Christians are scared to have a door slammed in their face. My wife and I are walking around passing out tracts tonight. I just thought of this, popped in my head. And most people were overwhelmingly receptive. Probably 98% receptive. But I had one person tell me, no thank you. They were a little bit rude. My wife said, how did that make you feel? I said, it don't bother me a bit, because I know they're rejecting Jesus, they're not rejecting me. Don't bother me a bit. But we're scared to be rejected. We're scared to get a door slammed in our face. We got young people scared to take young people David's age. David was shepherding as a young boy, more likely an older teen. And he wasn't scared to do that in grizzly bear country and lion country, but we got young believers that are scared to take their Bible to school and identify with Jesus. I was thinking about this message and had these thoughts running through my head, and we were walking in the airport to come here, walking in the airport just a few days ago, flying here, and I saw a guy walking down the middle of the hallway. I just noticed him. All black, death metal bands all over him, face, long hair. He looked like he fell face first in a tackle box. He had rings and studs everywhere. He had on a hat, had a pentagram on it, and a bill bent up, and it said 666 on it. And he walked by, and I felt the Holy Spirit pressing me. Why didn't you talk to him? Why didn't you give him a track? So I told my wife, I said, I'd be right back. So I went and walked down and didn't see him and was walking back. And he was coming out of the restroom. And I just walked up to him and I said, sir, I got something. I'm a pastor and I got something I would love for you to read. I'd love for you to watch. I'd love for you to watch this little video right here. And he said, no, thank you. And he was pretty rude. But you know what? I didn't care. I knew that I had done what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. But I had to psych myself up to do it. I had to say, what about David? David shepherded in grizzly bear country, and you're scared to give a guy a track? You know, sometimes I have to beat myself up. I don't know if you do, but I have to beat myself up sometimes and psych myself up. Amen? So, number one, I wanted to identify what type of bear we're dealing with, and I believe it's safe to say in the Bible that we're dealing with grizzly bears. Number two, I want to talk about our best protection. One of our best sources of protection against bears in the spiritual. Go to Judges 15:15 if you would. Judges chapter 15 and verse number 15. Then I went to the Mount Rushmore today, and I went down and I sat down on those bleachers, the benches, and I was looking at the presidents, and I had a big old stack of tracks like this. And I said, dear Lord, I need boldness. Please give me boldness to walk around and pass these out. And I believe God did. God helped me. And I prayed for boldness to go around. And I have to psych myself up. If David can go out and shepherd in grizzly bear country, to be sure you can go around and pass out some tracks. Amen? And I appreciate Miss Jody and Miss Lexi. Is that it, Lexi? Lexi and Jada and Aria, Araya, amen, standing today and standing for Jesus and standing up and being counted for Jesus. Man, when I saw that booth, I was like, hey, I'm glad to be on their team, amen. I was glad to see that, amen. That was encouragement to me. Now, I want to read to you from Judges what I believe the most effective weapon in the Bible is. As far as a defensive weapon. Now, I mean, I have other points about the Word of God and, you know, the sword. I have other points, but we don't have time for that. But I want to show you, I want you to see what I believe is one of the most effective defensive weapons that I'm aware of. Now, Adino was one of David's mighty men. He slew 800 at one time with a spear, but this even tops that. I'm going to show you one of the most awesome defensive weapons I'm aware of in the Word of God. Look at Judges 15:15. This is the story of Samson here. It says, and he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. Now for the longest time I'd read this. I read this story every year as I'm reading through my Bible. And for the longest time, every time I'd read it, I'd be like, what in the world is the deal with the jawbone? Why? I couldn't figure out, preacher, why Samson is using a jawbone. I mean, I would think, you know, if I was going to have to fight with a bone, I'd want a femur. I'd want a big femur, a thigh bone, not a jawbone. I mean, a jawbone's got a bend in it. It's already got a weak point in it. You hit somebody with it, it's going to break. I mean, that's like probably the worst bone in the world. You might as well be fighting with a wishbone. It's like the worst bone in the world I could think of to use as a weapon. And for years I'd read this and I'd say, what in the world? And then it hit me, God's trying to tell us something. I believe the Lord is trying to show us something. I believe He did this for a reason, because jawbones of what are attached to our mouths, amen? Jawbones of what we use for preaching the gospel. I believe using our jawbones is one of our best defensive weapons, period, amen? I believe that's what the Lord's trying to tell us here. Look, if we were alive to see the beast, we will need supernatural power and protection. I hope we're not alive to see the beast. I'm glad I can preach this sermon here at this church, because we're like-minded when it comes to the end times. You know, I believe if it's not us, there's going to be a group of Christians that are going to face the beast. Face the beast that has bear-like qualities. And we'll need, if it's not us, whoever it is, we'll need supernatural power and protection. And guess what? We need supernatural power and protection now from the dragon who gives the beast his power, the devil. Amen. We need it now. Now, supernatural and protection is our only hope, and it comes from the Lord. Now, how did Samson get supernatural power and protection? From using the jawbone. He got it from using the jawbone, amen? I submit to you that we will if we use ours. And look, if not protection, you know, some group of Christians are going to have to probably lay their head on a chopping block. So if it's not supernatural protection, I believe it'll help us get supernatural power for death. I call it dying grace. You know, Stephen got dying grace. I believe God took the sting of death away from him. When you look and you read when Stephen got stoned, it said he went to sleep. It's like they rocked him to death, amen? They just rocked him to sleep, I should say. They rocked him to sleep. And God took the sting of death away because he opened up the heavens and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, most of the time you see Jesus, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But at this particular time, he's standing. Why? Because he's given Stephen a standing ovation. Because the Bible says, precious is the in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That was precious to the Lord, what Stephen was doing. I believe God gave Stephen supernatural power and dying grace because he was boldly proclaiming God's word. Amen? Samson got supernatural power from using the jawbone. I submit to you that we will if we use ours. See, there's a theme in the Bible that I'm amazed as I read my Bible through. I see it over and over again. There's a theme in the Old Testament. There's a theme in the New Testament of God running interference on behalf of his preachers until it's their time to go. Listen to Psalms 105, verse 14. He suffereth no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. It says he suffered no man to do them wrong. God runs interference on behalf of his preachers who will go out and proclaim his word. Now, I'm a fan of good weapons. I did 20 years in military, and I just have always been fascinated with guns. As a matter of fact, I went over there to the gun store today, and right here, and man, I'm a fan of good weapons. But I'm here to tell you, better than a Daniel Defense Mark 18 close quarters battle rifle, or a Bravo Company Mark 12 special purpose rifle, or a Hellcat, or a SIG 365, or a Kel-Tec KSG, or a Glock 19, is the jawbone. Amen. The jawbone, I believe that's one of our best weapons. And if we would just use our jawbones, I want to show you that the other things we need will come also. Look at what else Samson got. Not only did Samson get supernatural protection, he got supernatural provision. Look at verse 18, Judges 15, 18. Let's see what else Samson got by using his jawbone. Verse number 18, and as he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. So not only did he get revival, do you know that we'll, if we'll constantly use our jawbones and constantly try to be witnesses, we won't need revival. Because every time you see in the Bible, evidence and sign of revival is not falling out on the floor, folks. If you go study the book of Acts, every time you see the Holy Spirit coming upon someone, even in the Old Testament, what did they do? They preached. They went out, witnessed. That's evidence of revival, folks. But he got revival, but not only that, he got his physical needs met. He was thirsty. He got his physical needs met. He got the water that he needed. I think about in the New Testament, some of the apostles went fishing and caught a gold coin to pay their bills. What's fishing a sign of? Soul winning. Fishing's a picture of soul winning. Jesus told them to go fishing and get a gold coin to pay their bills. I've probably been in this thing as long as Pastor First has, but I've been in this thing, I've been serving the Lord now for 26 years. Trying to do my, go soul winning every week of my life for the last 26 years. And I tell you, I have never seen a hungry soul winner. I've never seen a faithful soul winner not have his needs met. And I believe we'll get protection from using our jawbones. I believe we'll get provision from using our jawbones. But that's not it. I believe we can also get the presence of the Lord, a tangible manifestation, a presence of the Lord. Now, this is what David said. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. David had the Lord with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord helped him. The Lord delivered him. Amen? Don't we need the Lord? Don't we need the Lord with us? Now, yeah, he's always going to be in our hearts. But, you know, he said, if you'll just go, he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That's more of a manifestation of his presence. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Do the G-O and get the L-O. When we use our jawbones to preach the gospel, Jesus said he would give us an extra manifestation of his presence to go along with it. All right? So point number one, we need to identify what kind of bear we're dealing with. I said, I believe we're dealing with the grizzly bears in the Bible. Number two, I said we need to use one of our best weapons, one of our best defensive weapons is our jawbone. Just go out and preach the gospel. Amen. So God is pleased with us and run interference on our behalf. Amen. And then number three, last point, play dead. Play dead. Isn't that what we're supposed to do when you're dealing with a grizzly bear attack? Play dead. You say, how do you do that? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Go to Luke 17:33, if you would, please. Luke 17:33. See, not only if we use our jawbones and go, do the G-O, get the L-O, will God be pleased with us and God give us an extra manifestation of his presence, but I believe he's just going to, if we die to ourselves, he's just going to be pleased with us. He's going to be pleased with us and happy with us and more apt to run interference for us. Look at Luke 17:33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, I want to read the next verse to show you what the context is. I believe the context here is the rapture. Look at verse 34. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken, the other left. I don't think there's any argument that the context here is the rapture. So it says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Jesus is saying that in the context of the rapture. So he's talking about in the end times. In the end times, if you'll lose your life, you'll preserve it. Now, the context against the rapture. Now, we know that great tribulation comes before that. I was being real careful not to say the great tribulation because I didn't want Pastor First to get me. Amen. And I agree with that. Amen. We're brainwashed. I'm scared I'm going to say that sometimes because it's just been so brainwashed about the great tribulation, the great tribulation. And I appreciate Pastor First's teachings on that. But we know that great tribulation comes before the rapture. Okay? So what do? When great tribulation comes, lose our lives, play dead. Revelation 3:10 says that there's coming an hour which is going to try all the world. It says it's going to try all the world. Now, we're not Calvinists. I know your preacher well enough to know he's not a Calvinist. Amen? I believe all means all, and that's all means. Now, when it says there's coming an hour which is going to try all the world, I believe Christians are going to get tried also. Now, my feelings are that hour is when the mark mandate is rolled out. It's just my personal feelings. As could possibly be, and I know there's probably debate. We'll never know what that hour is till it manifests itself, but I think it could be when the mark mandate is rolled out. The world will be tempted, when the mark mandate's rolled out, the world will be tempted to take the mark. And I'll tell you what Christians, I believe, will be tempted to do. They'll be tempted to quit on God and go in hiding and save their life because things will get really bad. Some will try to save their lives by quitting on God and by going into hiding. In doing so, they will probably lose their lives because they will lose that supernatural protection. On the other hand, the ones who are dead to self and say, not my will, but thine be done, and keep assembling, and keep witnessing, and keep having a biker booth, and keep singing praises to God, those are the ones who lose their lives, and in doing so, they actually are preserving their lives because they're getting that supernatural protection. Amen? All throughout the Word of God, and this is, I jumped ahead a little bit earlier. This is what I'm going to go back. I kind of got out of order a little bit. But earlier when I said there's this pattern in the Old Testament and New Testament, this is what I was talking about. In the Old Testament, I'm blown away. I see this pattern in the Old Testament. And then I see this pattern in the New Testament. And it's the pattern of God's people going to the land of the Philistines or Egypt to get protection. I see where David runs off and hides himself in the land of the Philistines and gets protection. And even in the New Testament, you got people. Even Jesus' parents went to Egypt for safety. There's this pattern all throughout the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament, of God's people going to the world to find safety and protection. And I submit to you, that's where we're going to find safety and protection. Not going to a bunker somewhere. Not going to a compound in a shipping container, but going to the world with the gospel. Amen? I believe that's what God's trying to show us. I scratched my head. Why are these people always going to Egypt? Egypt's a picture of the world. Well, we're to be in the world, not of the world. Amen? I believe that's where we're going to get protection. It is a pattern. I believe that same pattern will be true for us. If we go to the world, that's where we're going to find the protection that we need when things get bad. Keep doing what you've been doing this weekend. Amen. All week. The will of God is always the safest place. And we know the Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So that means it's God's will that we help them not perish, but come to repentance. Amen. And this, God's will is the safest place for us to be. Zedekiah is the example of what happens when someone gets scared and disobeys God during tribulation. Zedekiah got his eyes gouged out. Instead of just obeying God and doing what God told him to do, he got scared and he disobeyed God and he got his eyes gouged out. I watched a video recently of a man who got mauled by a sow grizzly with cubs in Alaska. He went wrong in a lot of different ways. Number one, he was in grizzly country without a weapon. Number two, he didn't play dead. After the first attack, the sow left because she felt she had mitigated the threat. All she wanted to do was protect her cubs, and she felt like she had mitigated the threat. She gnawed on him and pawed him up a little bit, gnawed on his legs, but it was not anything real serious. But he was dazed, he was confused, and he was lying in the bush, and he called out to his buddy for help. His buddy was calling for him because he had actually managed to get away from the bear and was calling out to him to see if he was okay. And as he was responding to his buddy, the bear, Mama Bear, heard him and turned back because she said, oh, well, he's not dead. He still poses as a threat. So she came back for round two. And she rolled him over and bit down on his face multiple times. And when they brought him to the ER, they reported that he was in a condition incompatible with life. His eyes, nose, and forehead anatomy were unrecognizable. Every bone in his head except his jaw was broken. His brain was exposed, and it rendered him permanently blind. If he would have just played dead, he would have come out better. If he'd have just played dead. That's what we need to do. We need to play dead. Amen. We need to play dead. We need to play dead now and play dead later. But don't ever run from a bear. They will hunt you down. They run faster. They climb better. They smell better. They smell better than dogs. They will sniff you out and hunt you down. Pastor, first, I don't know why people think they can hide from the Antichrist. Christians already, doomsday preppers, these Christians already hiding from the Antichrist, already in a bunker somewhere. They actually think they're going to hide from the satellites and hide from the beast. I don't know why they think they're going to hide from them. There is no hiding. Especially if you're a member of this church, amen. You've been listening to Brother First, okay? I would imagine you've been pegged already by the synagogue of Satan because he's done a real good job exposing them, amen? He's done a great job at that. So you've probably already been pegged, amen? But praise God, keep supporting the man of God, amen? Now, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding around there. But keep supporting the man of God, amen? Praise God for you. But our best chance, and almost done, our best chance against the beast later and our best chance against the dragon now is to play dead by dying to self. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what you do when you submit yourself to God. You're dying to yourself, amen? That's what you're doing. You're playing dead. Basically, you know, the way to do it is when the devil comes knocking at your door, nope, devil, get behind me. Devil, I'm not laying out of church and giving in to the flesh. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Sorry, devil, suck a rotten egg. Devil, take a hike. Devil, get behind me. Devil, I'm going to die to myself. Yeah, I want to sleep in. Yeah, I want to go fishing. Yeah, I want to go hunting. Yeah, my flesh wants to do this and do that, but I'm going to die to myself and I'm going to play dead. Nope. Sorry, devil, I'm not watching those things that are not pleasing to the Lord on my phone. I'm crucified with Christ, amen? Nope, I'm not going to be timid. I'm going to pass out tracts and went for Jesus because I'm crucified with Christ. I'm not worried about what they're going to think about me. I'm not worried about what they're going to say to me. I'm not worried if they reject me because I'm dead. It doesn't matter. Dead people don't get a vote, amen? Dead people don't care. Nope, I'm not going to listen to worldly music. I'm crucified with Christ. Nope, I'm not going to run off and be scared should tribulation come. By the grace of God, I'm going to keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus and have the testimony of Jesus Christ because I am crucified with him. Playing dead will help us now and potentially later should we see the beast. And if we die to self, we get the Lord to stand with us. Amen. He'll be pleased with us and stand with us. Our best hope is to use and lose. Use our jawbones. Keep using our jawbones. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep going after those bikers. Amen. Use and lose. Lose your jawbones and lose your life. May God help us to use and lose now and later. Preacher, if you would come, please. Father God, thank you for these truths from your word and these patterns you've given us from the Old Testament, New Testament, about how people find protection and safety from going into Egypt, going into the land of Philistines, going into the world, and this example of Samson getting supernatural protection from the jawbone. I pray you'd help us to be faithful, Lord, to use and lose in these days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.